Good morning. I get to introduce our speaker this morning. My wife and kids and I have the pleasure of worshiping and serving alongside Josh and his wife Becky and their three kids at Ironworks Church in Phoenixville. Josh and Becky were two of the original six people who founded that church, but he also fits in here at Brick Lane because he too comes from a big family. Well, one of seven kids, so medium-sized family. Josh is an ICU nurse at Paoli Hospital. He's seen the worst of some of the past 2 years, and he's been an especially good friend to my wife and I, always willing to spend time to pray, listen, speak words of truth, and walk through life with us in a truly helpful way. This is a man who most importantly knows and loves Jesus and knows and loves his word. And I'm very excited that we all get to hear him this morning.
Thank you, Ryan. Well, good morning, Brick Lane. As Ryan said, I'm one of the ruling elders at Ironworks Church, and it is a privilege to be able to exalt Jesus Christ along with you through the Word this morning. So let's just jump right in. If you are able, please stand with me in honor of God's Word as I read from the English Standard Version from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 14. John 15, and this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in me. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, by the power and grace of the Holy Spirit, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to discern what it means, repentance to turn our hearts towards you, and the will to live out what we are taught through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever wrestled with the deep questions of life? Why am I here? Not necessarily here at Brick Lane, but why am I here on earth? What am I supposed to do? What is the purpose of my life? If you are a believer in Christ, have you ever struggled with your walk with Christ, struggled to trust him, struggled to obey him? Do you sometimes get caught up in the fact that life can just be so monotonous and mundane and ask, does my life have any significance? Or how can I make a difference in this world? Or perhaps you are here this morning and you feel deep grief and sorrow, and you wonder how you could possibly make it through the heartache that you feel. These are all very important questions, and they get at the core of who we are as people. And Jesus addresses these crucial questions for us here in this passage as he talks about what it means to abide in him. As we look at this passage together, we'll try to answer two main questions. First, why is it important that we should abide in Christ? And then secondly, what does it mean to abide in Christ? So first, why is it important that we abide in Christ? There are at least four reasons that I can discern from the text here as to why it is important that we abide in Christ. First, it is life or death. It is absolutely vital that we abide in Christ. When my wife and I moved into our home, we noticed that there were some shrubs in the front yard, and they weren't doing so well. So we went to the nearest garden center. We scouted out some new shrubs, got some counsel on how to take care of them, put down some new soil, and planted the shrubs, and waited eagerly for them to show signs of life. Unfortunately, of the four that we planted, only two began to show signs of growth and health. What we learned a little bit afterwards is that the previous owner was in a romantic relationship with somebody, and it went sour. And the person she had been dating actually poisoned the shrubs in the front yard. A little little condescending here. And that's why when we dug up these old shrubs that weren't doing well and we planted our shrubs in its place, they didn't do well. They died. There was poison in the soil. And so the roots soaked up the poison. And then the poison worked its way out into the branches, and they withered, and they died. And what we ended up doing is we ended up having to dig them up and throw them into the garbage heap. And Jesus pretty much says the same thing here. In verse 2, he says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away." And in verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned." And friends, what is sobering about what Jesus says here is that he addresses branches that are in Christ. That means, friends, that there is a way to be connected to Jesus, but not abide in him. There's a way to enjoy him for a time, but then to grow dissatisfied with him. To know him, but to not bear any fruit of that knowledge. To be in Christ, but not vitally connected to him. And this causes me to pause. And I would urge you to pause as well. Because I've seen too many people who I've known and admired, looked up to, and they've walked away from Jesus, abandoned their faith. And it causes me to pause and ask, how do I know if I am on that trajectory? Will I walk away from Jesus? Will you walk away from Jesus? And I believe that Jesus tells us pretty clear in this text how we can know whether we are vitally connected to him or not. He says it both positively and negatively. Negatively, he says, every branch that does not bear fruit. And positively, he says, if you are in me, you will bear much fruit. So what does this mean? If we are abiding in Christ, we will bear fruit of that connection to him. And this makes sense. If a branch is connected to the source of life and vitality, it will mature, and in time it will bud, and then it will begin to bear fruit. But if it's connected to poison, like my shrubs, they will just wither up and they will die. Jesus will bring out what exactly this fruit is, and we'll explore that. That particular fruit is love and is joy. And so as we think about, are we vitally connected to Christ, we should ask ourselves, is my life demonstrated by a love for God and a love for others? And does that love produce a joy inside of you? You can perform acts of love. You can perform acts of service, but not have the joy that it should produce inside of you. So, friends, why is it important that we abide in Christ? It is life or death. And eventually, every person that does not abide in Christ will be taken away. They'll be cast aside into the heap, and they will be burned, never to know Jesus or his blessings again. That's the first reason. Second, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. This is exactly what Jesus says in verse 5. But what exactly does Jesus mean by this? Well, in a very real sense, it is true that apart from Jesus' creating and sustaining power, we literally can do nothing. We can't breathe. Our hearts cannot beat. The molecules in our being would not stay together. As Paul said, quoting one of the poets from his day, in him we live and move and have our being. And the author of Hebrews says, Jesus upholds the universe by the power of his word. But I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about here. What he is saying that is apart from abiding in him, we can do nothing of significance, nothing of substance, nothing that will ultimately glorify God. It's kind of like entering and winning the preliminaries to get into the Olympics year after year, but then never bringing home a medal. It's being able to do all sorts of quote-unquote good things, but never really glorify God. You, if you are not connected and abiding in Christ, will lose out on the real, substantive, glorious, significant things in life, the things that truly matter. But it also means that if you abide in Christ, even the mundane, the monotonous things of life can take on eternal significance. As Paul famously said, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. And so this morning, we have a lot of infant baptisms. If you are in the thick of changing diapers and doing laundry, or you're driving to work, swiping in at 9, swiping out at 5, you can, if you abide in Christ, do all of these things to the glory of God. they can take on eternal significance. The things that are mundane that you do for the glory of God will last into eternity. Why is it important that we abide in Christ? It's life or death. Through him, we can take on eternal significance. And third, our prayers are made effective. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And there is definitely some mystery behind what Jesus is trying to say here. And a lot of questions could be asked as to what exactly this means. But we can't ignore the simple fact that Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Ask the Father and he will answer your prayers. Now, I don't think this is a blank check or a little bottle that you can rub and a genie pops out and you can get whatever it is that you want. In fact, Jesus gives us two conditions as to how this will play out. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. And this is key to understanding what Jesus means here. When you abide in Christ and allow his word to marinate in your heart and life, it will begin to shape how you pray, what you pray for, and will help you to know what you can expect God the Father to do for you, and will help you to know what you must leave to the Father to determine. So friends, don't lose heart in prayer. Instead, run to Christ. Meditate on his word. Pray earnestly. But always remember how Jesus prayed. Not my will, but yours be done. Abiding in Jesus is so important that it's life and death. That it can make our lives significant eternally. That it can fuel our prayer and make it effective. And last, abiding in Christ will give us full, sustaining, life-giving joy. Verse 11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Friends, don't miss at what Jesus is saying to you. He doesn't want you to have some generic joy, but the very joy that Jesus has in himself. This is the joy that if we possess, will sustain us even in times of deep grief and sorrow. Jesus isn't naive. In fact, in just a little bit later in chapter 15, he is preparing his disciples for difficulties. They're going to face all sorts of temptation, go through all sorts of difficult trials, and Jesus is preparing them for that. And he wants his disciples, and he wants you to be able to face any difficulty, any tragedy, any heartache, any disappointment with a heart that knows and rejoices that God is in it all. And that one day, God will make all things right. I want this for myself. I want this kind of joy. And I want this for you this morning as well. And that is why it's important, that it's vital that we abide in Christ. As we face difficulties, the joy of the Lord can be our strength. So we know why it's important to abide in Christ. It's life or death. It gives us eternal significance. It fuels our prayer. And it's the gateway to life-sustaining joy. But this begs the question, what does it mean? What does it mean to abide in Christ? Allow me to read once again verses 8 through 13. Jesus says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Before we dig into what exactly it means to abide in love, I just want to address a couple of verses that, just as I was meditating and looking through this passage, just kind of irritated my heart and irritated my mind a little bit. And that's verse 10 and verse 14. Verse 10 says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." And verse 14 says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." And I kept asking, like, is Jesus being a legalist? That was my question. Like, it just seems like it. It seems like Jesus is saying, you know, friends, you can be my friends, but it's only if you do what I tell you to do. You can know that I love you as long as you do stuff for me. That's what it almost sounds like Jesus is saying. But is that what he is saying? I think verse 12 helps us to understand and bring it into perspective. When he talks about what the command is, he says in verse 12, "This is my commandment for you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Jesus' love isn't determined by the fact that you keep his commands. You keep his commands is built on the fact that he loves you. So what does it mean to abide in Jesus? It means that we abide in his love. What is the love of Christ for you? There's two verses here that show us in crystal clear HD 4K what Jesus' love for us is. Verse 9 says this, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." And in verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends." Let's look at these in a little bit more detail. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." Friends, how has the Father loved Jesus? We get a few just vivid images in the Gospels. Let me read a couple of them for you. In Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and following, it says, "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven and said, 'You are the Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" And again, in Matthew 17, Jesus is taking James, Peter, and John up to the mountain, and his appearance is changed so that his glory is revealed. And in verse 5, it says, of chapter 17 of Matthew, "A bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is the Son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" So friends, when Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. You can get this picture of Jesus standing over you and saying, you are the person whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Those are Jesus' words to you this morning. And secondly, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus loves us like the Father has loved him, and Jesus loves you like no one else in history has loved anyone else. Jesus in John chapter 10 says, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And a little bit further down in John 10:17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life and I take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I have received from my Father. Friends, Jesus has loved you to the fullest extent because he laid down his life for you. And therefore, you are his friends. He calls you friend this morning. Jesus willingly and even joyfully laid down his life to rescue you from evil so that your sins could be paid for and so that you could be connected to him and in him called sons and daughters of God. And so, if you are here and you have really never really known Jesus, perhaps you're visiting because of one of these baptisms, Jesus is saying to you, come, come to me, and I will forgive your sins. Come to me and have eternal significance. Come to me and find that your prayers are answered. Come to me and have life-giving joy. And for those of you who are here who know Jesus and love him, he's asking you, abide in me. Abide in my love for you. Walk in my love. Have your word marinate your heart and soul and bear much fruit as Jesus' friends and disciples. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for these words of Jesus, these words of hope, these words of truth, these words of joy. And I pray, God, that each of us here, no matter where we find ourselves this morning, whether we're here asking questions about the big things in life, what does it mean? What am I here for? How can I find eternal significance? Or whether we've walked with Jesus for our entire lives, I pray, God, that your Spirit would press into our hearts the urgent need to abide in the love of Jesus, that he would remind us just how much Christ has loved us, and that we would walk in his love, and that we would bear much fruit as his friends and disciples. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.